That's not a new version of Coast to Coast. That's just something that flips along. That's all from the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines at the half. Next hour, legendary teacher John Taylor Gatto. Evolution versus creationism in our schools. I'm back in L.A. Good to be back here. And hope all is well. Hey, there is a major fire going on in Chicago in a downtown building at the LaSalle Bank. Started on the 29th floor. Anywhere from 18 to 25 people have been injured. Nearly a third of the Chicago Fire Department is out there battling this blaze as we speak. The fire comes 14 months after a 35-story building in downtown Chicago owned by Cook County caught fire, killing at least six people. I'll update you on this fire throughout the night. More than a dozen expensive homes under construction were burned early Monday in a suburban Washington, D.C. / Maryland area, a housing development that had been criticized by environmentalists because it is next to a nature preserve. An FBI agent said the fires may have been set by environmental extremists. A dozen homes destroyed, 29 others damaged near the state's Mattawamkeag Natural Environmental Area. No injuries reported. The damage estimated at $10 million. In Baghdad, the fighting continues. Insurgents have stepped up violence against Iraqis cooperating with Americans as next month's national elections approach. The attacks have been concentrated now in Baghdad, in a string of cities also to the north. Some of the violence has been aimed at Shiites and Kurdish militiamen in an apparent attempt to stir up ethnic tensions. In Saudi Arabia, lobbing grenades, militants invaded Jeddah's heavily guarded U.S. consulate on Monday, attacking staffers and others in the compound until Saudi security forces stormed in. Nine people, none American, were killed in the attack, which was aimed by al-Qaeda and showed how vulnerable Saudi Arabia remains to Islamic extremist violence. The bold assault, and it was one, the worst in the kingdom since May, suggested that a fierce crackdown waged by Saudi security forces have not completely put al-Qaeda down in the native land of terror leader Osama bin Laden. As thousands of soldiers from the war in Iraq and Afghanistan stream home reporting a number of health problems, the government is now refocusing its research on illnesses among veterans from the first Persian Gulf War more than a decade ago. Among the recent changes, the Department of Veterans Affairs has announced it will be putting $15 million over the next year to defining and treating maladies that could have been caused by exposure to dangerous neurotoxins in the 1991 war. But Joyce Riley from the American Gulf War Veterans Association says this may not be the case. This may not be enough. Tuesday, by the way, we'll have a special memory moment on Pearl Harbor. Joyce Riley is a registered nurse who has been a director of nursing for four institutions and has been a heart, lung, liver, and kidney transplant nurse. She also served as a captain in the United States Air Force in support of Operation Desert Storm, flying active duty missions on a C-130 aircraft from Alaska to Cuba. Her experience as a medical legal testifying expert in medical malpractice trials gave her the background to investigate the Gulf War illness. She has since become an advocate for all veterans and citizens experimented upon by government. Joyce presently serves as a spokesperson for the American Gulf War Veterans Association. She's our guest this moment on Coast to Coast. Hi, Joyce. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you very much, George.
My pleasure. Now, this statement by the Department of Veteran Affairs to put another $15 million into next year into treating and defining these maladies, you don't necessarily agree with that, do you?
Well, I agree that we should be treating our troops, not doing more research. I believe that what we are looking at now is beyond treason. It is murder, what has taken place with our military right now. The gloves are off. The Gulf War veterans are certainly angry. I myself now have decided that the Department of Defense is never going to come around and treat these veterans. It is an intentional lack of military medicine that has, and research, good quality medicine and research that has gone into the obfuscation and the intentional obstruction of treatment for these military people.
Joyce, the fact that they're at least making some kind of movement, I know you and I have talked about this for years where they denied it vehemently. Now they at least seem to be admitting that there's something going on. Is that just a smokescreen, or are they really serious to try to find what's going on here?
No, they're not serious. George, you and I both know we go way back in this. You were one of the first people that covered this story and covered it truthfully early on. Back in 1995, 96, and 97, when I began really getting verbal about this, the Department of Defense knew full well what was going on. We did a video called Gulf War Illness Fact or Fiction, in which the Department of Defense called me and asked me not to distribute that video. I asked them which part of it was incorrect, and they said, well, that's not the issue. The issue is you're one of us, as a former captain in the Air Force. And I said, no, I'm not. If you consider me one of us, which is going to cover up the Gulf War illness, don't expect me to do it. And I confronted them early on. I have debated Dr. Michael Kilpatrick from the Pentagon, and he went away looking really very poorly, because this is just another one of the attempts to cover up the deaths of our military. There's no question about it. Our military are kicked to the side of the curb like dead animals after a war. Same thing happened with Agent Orange, Gulf War One, and now Gulf War Two.
I will always remember, Joyce, a couple years ago, I was at a Marines Toys for Tots campaign during Christmas in St. Louis, and a former Marine came up to me, and he had tears in his eyes, and he tried to talk, and he could barely talk. I mean, it was almost like his tongue was numb. I mean, he would say things like, please talk to Joyce for me, and he said, and he wrote me a letter while he was there, because it was that difficult for him to talk. And he, with tears coming down his eyes, said that he used to be able to speak as eloquently as anybody, that something happened to him when he came back from the Gulf War. And I put him in touch with you, and of course you get so many messages and emails, but I do think you talked with him. And it was sad to see what was happening, and this was 5-6 years ago, where they just were not getting the kind of treatment that they should be getting. And it hasn't stopped yet, because now I'm told that some 361,000 active duty soldiers who were deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan since January of 2003 are coming back, and they are beginning to show some different kinds of symptoms, mental health problems, orthopedic, dental, pulmonary ailments. This is not normal.
No, it's not. And we have right now, out of the first Gulf War, about 450,000 troops that are sick out of the 697,000. That's two-thirds of the troops. We have at least 225,000 that are on permanent disability, though they're only getting 10% disability, which is about $105 a month. You know, we're not looking at where the focus ought to be. The focus ought to be on the people in charge right now, on the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, on the previous Secretaries of Defense, on those who have wielded the hammer over the Gulf War veterans of telling this young Marine, well, it's a mental problem. People like Dr. Stephen Joseph, people like John Deutsch, William Cohen, Paul Wallner, these people are guilty of literally kicking our military out and letting them just have to flail for themselves. I am so concerned that the American public is not going to catch on to what is going on here. I mean, it's not just one nurse that's been yelling all the time that was some wacko loony down there in Missouri that didn't know what was going on. No, we're talking about a Department of Defense who has been systematically covering up. They have literally only declassified about 0.005% of the records from the first Gulf War. Now, here is what we have learned. Now, this report that just came out saying, oh, we're going to give $15 million to research. Do you know how long research takes from the time that you give the grants out to the time it's completed? It may be 10 years. Well, that will buy the Department of Defense another 10 years to be able to confuse the American public and the journalists. No, here's what they're saying. Finally, after all this time, well, it wasn't a mental illness. They have real problems. In fact, they have memory loss, dizziness, loss of balance. They have central nervous system problems. Now, this is part of the report that you didn't see. You see, what started all of this, and the reason that they have essentially looked like they've had some kind of religious experience, is because there was a successful case in the UK where a troop served a lawsuit on the Ministry of Defense.
Mm-hmm.
They sued the Ministry of Defense because they can sue in the UK. The U.S. troops are prohibited from that, according to the Ferris Doctrine. So they prevailed in their lawsuit. It's now come out in the UK. Wow, there is a Gulf War illness. These troops are really dying. Now what are we going to do? So now the Pentagon, to keep from looking totally stupid, have got to come around and say, oh, well, maybe we need to reevaluate this. So now they are saying every single thing I ever said, or they're beginning to realize those things, starting in 1996 when I was on with Art Bell and we disclosed all this information. And you go back and listen to those archives and you will see that nothing has changed, at least in what I have said. Now, the Department of Defense is responsible for the deaths of thousands of our military, the illnesses of thousands of these military, because what they told you was, well, they may have a few deaths, but they never followed the reservists, never followed the guardsmen, or the people that got out of the service. And by 1995, according to Bill Siebenhaler in Wellstone's office, at the time I talked to them in 1997, 90% of the military was out of the military that served in Desert Storm by 1995. Now, you cannot tell me that 90% of a military just up and walks after a war.
No.
Colin Powell said there'd be a 20% downsizing. There was a 90% downsizing. These guys were sick. They were losing their minds, their memories. And I'm not talking mental problems. I'm talking physiological. They couldn't do the PT. They had to get them out of the military before anyone found out what was going on.
What do you think happened out there, Joyce? Do you still think it was in the vaccinations we gave the troops before they went over there, the pills we gave the troops? What do you think happened?
We know what happened. Number one, chemicals and biologicals were used. Dr. Doug Rocky, who was in the depleted uranium research project to try and clean up Desert Storm area after the war, has now admitted biologicals and chemicals were used in the first Gulf War, even though Shelly Kashvili and the Secretary of Defense at the time said there's no evidence classified or unclassified to prove that biologicals or chemicals were used. They were used. It was a nuclear war also because of the depleted uranium, but this was never divulged. UNSCOM report of 1995 quotes without a doubt that biologicals and chemicals were deployed during the first Gulf War. Have you ever heard that in the news media? No. Have you ever heard them say, let's see if these guys might really be sick? This is a cover-up of a proportion that we have never seen in this country, and it is beyond treason. And that's why we did this new documentary that's going to be coming out, and it is going to be scathing to the Pentagon. We have no holds barred. The names will be named, and everybody's going to know what took place.
Now, when you say biological and chemicals were used during the Gulf War, by whom? Saddam or us?
Yes, they were used in the Scud missiles. There was plenty of evidence of it being found. The weapons that were sold by the United States government with the approval of the CDC and the Department of Commerce knew full well that they were selling West Nile virus, anthrax, botulinum. We've got the documents. We have the batch numbers. We have the dates that was transferred to Iraq. Not a real friendly country to us at the time, but we armed him with $4 billion worth of weapons, in which George Bush Sr. made available through the Commercial Credit Corporation, through the Banco Nacional de Lavoro of Atlanta, Georgia. The money was funded to Iraq. Saddam was supposed to buy food, Commercial Credit Corporation, the commodities, supposed to buy food, didn't buy food, bought all these weapons. The United States armed him, the United States sent our troops in harm's way, knowing full well they were going to be exposed to those items, never telling them what to expect. And to make it really unfair, they sent them in with chemical gear that was faulty. Now, this has all been proven by a GAO report.
Didn't they also have some suits, Joyce, that had like holes in it and things like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They had 850,000 suits made by a company in Rainier, West Virginia called Isratex, I-S-R-A-T-E-X, that were totally full of holes, full of tears, and yet we put our troops in that, sent them in there and said, hey, go boys, do us proud. And the sad part is now, these same generals and colonels and people with stars on their shoulders have got these support our troops signs on their cars while they know that they are just waiting for the army to die. Now, when America's going to wake up, I don't know, because its citizenry is going to be next.
I tell you, Joyce, you have and I have, we've talked to soldiers who have the Gulf War syndrome, and those people who have never seen or talked with one of our soldiers who has this affliction really doesn't understand the scope of this until they do. And then they walk away saying, my God, something needs to be done. And until they see it or hear it, they aren't going to understand it, Joyce.
No, they're not. And until people understand, we're talking about two-thirds of our military from the first Gulf War. And here's the big problem, George. It's the second Gulf War. We've already heard from many units coming back. They are sick. They're not supposed to be talking about it. They're not able to get help. They're not able to get appointments. They're not able to get care. And they're certainly not able to get compensation. These troops are very sick as a result of the depleted uranium that was used in the second Gulf War. But you see, the first Gulf War troops, though, they have been really like, I mean, they have just been forgotten, literally, because you cannot get treatment or compensation now. And there are senators in this country today that are responsible and know full well everything I'm telling you. In fact, Christopher Bond of Missouri is one of those people. Robert Bennett of Utah, Pete Domenici of New York, Paul Sarbane, Maryland, Chris Dodd, Connecticut. And I have to add, I mean, I could go on and on.
Well, now tell me, though, the afflicted soldiers get treatment in the VA hospitals for something. The big issue is, though, is that they're not, what, getting disability or payments?
The big issue, George, is they're dying because they're not getting any treatment. According to the Department of Defense, there is no Gulf War illness, therefore they cannot treat for it. So since they said, and I'm saying they said, the Pentagon, that it was a mental illness, that's where they had to treat. In other words, I just talked to a troop recently from the second Gulf War. She came back very sick, all kinds of problems, just like the first Gulf War veterans, and it was a combination of probably the anthrax vaccine, depleted uranium poisoning, and leishmaniasis, whatever else is in the theater of operations now. And she was given a prescription for 7 antidepressants. And she said, I've never been depressed. I am sick. I am physically sick. I'm not depressed. And they said, but that's what we give to everybody. After taking them, she became almost suicidal because of the combination of the drugs. She had to get off of them. So 80% of the Gulf War veterans that have been seen by a DOD or VA facility have either been placed on or offered antidepressants. They can treat only for symptoms. So if you come in with stomach ailments, they might give you Prilosec.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in with headaches, they may give you ibuprofen or joint pain. But nobody is treated for anything because there was only a mental disorder that has been laid upon these poor Marines and poor airmen all this time. And this is, I mean, this is beyond negligence. It is intentional, and it is killing of our military. And if you aid and abet the enemy by allowing your own military to die, to me that is treason. And I wish people would go to beyondtreason.com, because we are going to be naming names of what happened.
Sad situation, Joyce. We won't let it drop. You know that.
Well, I appreciate that. And I just want to say to every Gulf War veteran out there, an Agent Orange sufferer, don't give up. Because it's now coming down to where they're going to have to admit something. And I think we should not forget all of these people who kept saying, oh, no, it's just those crazy right-wing radical fringe element weirdos out there that are saying a Gulf War illness exists. I mean, we have been attacked. Our organization has been attacked by every side for years. And it's not an issue of who is right and who is wrong. It's an issue of getting medical treatment to these Gulf War veterans. And as a flight nurse during the Gulf War, I mean, I think I have seen more illness and more suffering, obviously, since the Gulf War. We only had 147 deaths during the Gulf War, but now we've had over 30,000 to 40,000 deaths, and nobody's doing a thing, and nobody realizes it's going to happen to all the guys that are in Iraq right now.
Joyce, I've talked with you for a number of years. I've never, ever heard you this upset.
I am so upset because I have been talking just recently to a young man who is so ill. His water was turned off in his home, and he has to collect rainwater on the top of his house.
Oh my God!
And bring it into the house. That's what's happened to your troops. That is what happens if Gulf War I. And I'll tell you, these yellow ribbons make me absolutely sick that I see out there by the side on every car. Make me sick because they have these people, these innocent citizens here in this country, have no idea what the Department of Defense has done. Now, if they lie about Jessica Lynch and they lie about how Pat Tillman died and they lie about these Gulf War veterans, what are we going to do for these troops?
Joyce, let's stay in touch. Thank you. Joyce Riley, number of websites, GulfWarVets.com. Also, she has a program with her husband, David Von Kleist, ThePowerHour.com, and those websites linked up with her name right under CoastToCoastAM.com. I'll be back. I'll have open lines now until the top of the hour, so get ready. The phone numbers for you very quickly, 800-618-8255. That's west of the Rockies. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie back in the City of Angels, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Talk with George Norrie. Call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Let me bring you up to speed on some other stories of the day before you go to open lines here. A new BBC drama claims that the Yellowstone supervolcano is unstable and could explode. And if it does, subsequent disruptions of the Earth's climate will lead to, this is what they say, deaths of a billion human beings. Now, this is not a documentary. It's a drama film. Its producers claim that it's based, though, on actual data gathered with the help of the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency, the Pentagon, and U.S. Geologic Survey. The agency does not anticipate an explosion of the Yellowstone supervolcano at this time. We continue to follow that story here on Coast to Coast. However, numerous changes in the area in recent years do suggest that it is becoming more active. In the past history, the volcano has erupted approximately over every 600,000 years. It is about 640,000 years since the last eruption. The Yellowstone supervolcano is a vast area of magma that lies beneath Yellowstone Park. Its eruptions in the past have spread ash across most of the United States and led to years without summer due to ash filling the atmosphere and causing generalized cooling. The BBC drama suggests that the United States and Canada would suffer numerous growing seasons without crops, and that food production worldwide would plummet in the wake of such an eruption. The volcano, they say, would kill 100,000 people during the eruption itself, largely due to ash falls and gases downwind of Yellowstone. Trillions of tons of ash would then enter the atmosphere, causing as much as a 60% decline in food production and worldwide famine. Hardest hit would be poor countries that must import food, the U.S. and Canada, which would experience an almost total disruption of farming and an inability to import enough to feed their populations. Well, let's hope it's still hundreds of thousands of years away. In Florida, a woman ran over two teenage boys after they accidentally hit her sport utility vehicle with golf balls that they were bouncing around in a parking lot, leaving one of the boys with life-threatening injuries. Isaiah Grayer, 14 years old, and his 16-year-old twin stepbrothers, Justin and Jamal Marshman, were bouncing the golf ball in a shopping center when it went astray and struck a sport utility vehicle driven by a 47-year-old woman. Her name's Kathy Allen. Well, according to the St. Johns County Sheriff's Deputy Greg Succi, he says no damage was done, and as the boys apologized and began to walk away, she started to drive away, suddenly made a U-turn, ran over the median, struck Grayer, causing severe injuries, and then hit Justin Marshman before knocking over a light pole. A passersby was able to stop her and called police. The federal government will announce a plan this week to purchase additional flu shots to help relieve the nation's shortage, according to the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. If you take the flu shot, they're going to try to find more. In the event that you haven't been able to, health officials had planned on having more than 100 million doses of the vaccine this season, the biggest supply ever. But the flu maker, the Chiron Corporation flu shot maker, announced on October 5th that it would not ship 48 million doses after British health officials suspended the maker's license because of contamination at a Liverpool plant. Well, the techniques used by South Korean researchers to create the first cloned human embryos have now been adapted by a University of Pittsburgh team to produce cloned monkey embryos. Calvin Simmerly of the Pittsburgh Development Center says that the three embryos developed to the stage at which embryonic stem cells could be recovered, but 135 embryos that were transferred to 25 female monkeys failed to produce any pregnancies. Scientists, by the way, have come up with a cell phone cover that will grow into a sunflower when you throw it away. I kid you not. The materials company called PVAX Research, at the request of Motorola, has come up with a polymer that looks like any other plastic, but it degrades into the soil when it's discarded. They put a little seed in there, and it turns into a sunflower when you throw it away. In Zimbabwe, hitchhikers there had a shock when they were driven to a cemetery and forced to dig up a coffin at gunpoint. Apparently, coffins are in big demand out there because of the AIDS pandemic, and the robbers didn't want to do the digging themselves, and so that's why they went after these hitchhikers, gave them shovels and pitchforks and made them do the deed. Also on eBay, a woman's effort to lessen her 6-year-old son's fears of his grandfather's ghost by selling it on eBay has drawn more than 35 bids, and apparently the top offer was $78. She says that she placed her father's ghost online because her son Colin was scared of the ghost returning. Now, I told him grandfather was nice, he was a good person, but my son was still petrified. She has asked the winning bidder to write a letter to her son, simply saying that grandfather is with them now and they're getting along great. How about that? Things they will sell on eBay. Also, a CD, if you would like, is not on eBay. This one is a free CD of Art Bell's interview on Mel's Hole. It is available to you and given to you for free when you subscribe or renew your After Dark newsletter subscription. Couple ways to get it. Call toll-free 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. When I return, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Don't forget, at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking with legendary teacher John Taylor Gatto about a number of educational-related issues, including, of course, Darwinism versus creationism. I'm looking forward to that and the battle in the schools over just that. Let's go to the phones. Here are the numbers again, by the way. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you,
sir? Jim. I'm calling you from Kansas City.
Hi, Jim.
Listen, I just have a little information there on, I'm a film buff, and I was listening to you on Friday's show.
Yeah.
The John Wayne situation. The film was called The Conqueror.
Oh, I thought it was The Rio Grande.
No, well, Rio Grande was 49, but this happened in 55.
Now, this is the one with a little UFO cloud behind him, I guess, right?
Yeah, but okay. This is actually the cancer situation. The film was released in 56. It was directed by Dick Powell. John Wayne and Susan Hayward, Agnes Moorehead. It was shot in Utah near an atomic test site. And these stars, Pedro Armandez, all of these people, plus many of the working people on that film, all died of cancer.
Yeah, they did. Now, John Wayne, of course, though, was a huge smoker, was he not?
Oh, yeah, he was a big smoker. But you see, the reason I know about this is that I lived in Los Angeles, and I met Susan Hayward's sister at one time through some rental situations. And she told me that this was Susan Hayward died with like 80-90% full of cancer. And her two twin sons, I believe, had a lawsuit going at one time.
Nothing ever happened to that, though, I guess, huh?
Just sort of died, yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks for the update. Appreciate it. Let's go to our first-time caller line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Buffalo.
I love it. WBEN, you're listening to, no doubt, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You ever hear of anybody reading rocks? I actually, me and my wife were out in Allegheny County a couple of years ago, and out in Allegheny there, and we just started looking at these rocks one day, and we started seeing all these visuals coming out, faces and Indians and dinosaurs, and it's funny because if I turn a rock, like if I have it in my hand and I turn it left, I can see all kinds of stuff on the earth, like dinosaurs, Indians, faces.
Weird. You sure it's not like when you look up in the sky and you see those cloud patterns and you go, hey, there's a dog, there's a donut?
No, this is, I could see all kinds of stuff.
What if you show this rock to someone else? Will they see it?
Well, I have. I've showed it to a few people, and it's like they can't really, they can see some things, but not more in depth like that I can, me and my wife. And then if I turn it right, I can see all kinds of aliens and different creatures and stuff. It's really amazing.
What do you think's going on here?
I don't know. I mean,
is it you or the rock?
I do this all the time. If I pick up any kind of a rock, I can see stuff on it. It's really amazing. And it's like we were out in Allegheny County when we were camping out there a couple of years ago, living there. You know, we were like went out there just for camp for a few months. And it felt like there was all these people around us, but there was nobody there but us two. And that's when we discovered this at this time. And it's like, it's amazing. If I see an old rock, like if we go camping or something, we pick up because we collect rocks now. And it's just, it's amazing. I mean,
that is strange. I would take it that you can't take a picture of a rock and send it to us because we probably wouldn't see the same picture you do, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's, if you can get into seeing this, I mean, this is something that, you know, it amazes me.
Well, do me a favor. Try to take a picture of it and then send a copy of it to us, and let's see if we can see anything from it. You know, it's probably like one of those Where's Waldo things. You got to have a special eye, but it pops right out once you do. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
Who's Jim?
Oh, sorry. I was writing a letter to my friend. Sorry
All right.
about that. All right, George, I have a question.
Yeah.
I just heard you talking about the Gulf War syndrome and everything.
Yes.
And the other day I heard you on a show talking about this secret society trying to undermine America and
yes.
all that.
Yes.
Do you think the two things could be related?
Good question. I don't think it's related directly. I think the Gulf War syndrome is a situation that that our government has found itself in and doesn't know how to figure it out or get out of it. It is, unfortunately, a financial disaster. If they were to say that these hard-fighting men and women who have come back from this situation, that they have indeed contracted this illness and admitted it, then they would definitely be culpable for the financial backing of all these people. And that's the reason why they don't want to do it. And it's unfortunate that money has taken over, I think, what the right thing should be, but that's the way it is.
Right. I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist or anything, but you'd have to be blind to see the social and the economic and, you know, this the general implosion of America, like what you were talking about the other night. And I would think that that would tie in militarily as well.
But there are. There's a group out there that would love nothing than to see this country go down the tubes, and they're doing everything they can to fund terrorism and to continue to do what they do. And you know what? We are a resilient type, and we fight back, believe me. Let's go back to our East of the Rockies line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello, I'm Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Harrison, Michigan.
Well, welcome to the show.
And I was listening to the program Friday night.
Yep.
And the guy that said about John Wayne, the thing behind his head.
Yeah, which I haven't seen. Have you?
Yes.
Does it look like a UFO back there?
Yes, it does. Because I put it on, pause, and I went from frame by frame. And it showed three or four of them shooting back behind his head. Then it showed one in the middle between him and Maureen Sullivan in the sky in the back, like it did a U-turn.
That's weird. Now, that's the movie The Rio Grande, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I taped it on AMC about 2-3 years ago.
And could it look, I don't know, I guess clouds don't go back and forth.
It wasn't clouds.
Oh, it doesn't even look like a cloud, huh?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, so you can clearly see some kind of object then.
Yeah, because you can put it on, when you put it on fast, it goes by real fast.
Okay.
Then when you put it on the freeze frame, when you put it on pause, then you go freeze frame, and it goes frame by frame, and it goes about 5-10 minutes. You can see all kinds of stuff going all over.
What kind of shape did it have?
It was like a...
Like a saucer?
Yes, it was like a saucer.
All right, well, I'm going to have to rent that just to see this. This is a plot by the movie company to get people to look at a movie that no one watches anymore, hardly. Maybe. Wildcard Line, your turn. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. It's your turn.
Hey, George. Just curiosity, a certain phenomenon. I wonder if you had noticed it. Ever since Art started just doing the weekends,
yeah,
have you noticed that the IQ level of the callers has really gone down?
Only with you, that's all. Next up, you're on the wild card line. Hi there.
Am I on now?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I know your moderator said time is short. Okay, I wanted to point out something. I'm calling from up here in Evanston, Illinois. It's just north of Chicago, and I rarely hear anybody say anything about the Deep Tunnel Project. It's the biggest public works project, like, in history. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of miles of these tunnels, 300 feet down, and it's like from, like, as far as I know, the North Shore goes to southern Illinois. But the point that I wanted to put out is Northwestern University somehow managed to get an access tunnel with elevators and everything else. What do they need to get down there for? I've been saying for years it's a bomb shelter or something like that. One of my friends worked on it, and he took pictures down there. And they've got railroads, they've got hospitals down there, they've got armories down there and everything else. And I did have a whole lot of other things to say, too, but again, your moderator said that...
Well, when do you think this was completed, if you
it's
had to guess?
It's not completed. They're still working
They're still expanding it?
Of course. Well, it never stopped.
Well, let's go back. And when did it start?
It started right after the Second World War.
Well, then there's no question. And I'm sure it started off as a bomb shelter. There's no doubt about that.
There's something more going on, sir. I think they either know something is going to happen on a natural level or something is going to be deliberately generated, and they want to get the elitist down underground and then leave the rest of us up here to take the flak.
Well, now, how do you know how big it is down there?
Well, at one time, the Tribune was publishing maps of it, and they go, like, all the way down almost to Springfield. Okay, and originally they said, oh, well, this is for flood control. Well, I've been living around here for a long time. I'm also a Vietnam veteran. I'm over 50 years old.
Yeah.
I could tell you things about that. But this has been going on for a long time. Back, I remember I lived up around, I don't know if you're, how familiar you are with the Chicago area. I used to live up around Howard Western.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a lot of blasting and digging along the sanitary canal, which runs along McCormick, and they just completed another vent elevator, whatever, up around Green Bay Road and McCormick. And I'm telling you, it hasn't stopped. It's still going on. It's the biggest public works project in the history of maybe the world.
Has anybody gone public with this?
Well, again, like I said, nobody's really talking. It's kind of like nobody's talking about it because the Tribune at one point about 10 years ago published a map, but it wasn't really complete. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, one of the local papers published Northwestern University's access tunnel, and it's right by their power plant there. And they don't have a cooling pond there for nothing, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm convinced that there are regions throughout this entire country that have some of these underground built caverns and facilities. I mean, I think they're all over the place. I think there's one, for example, under the new Denver airport. I think there's one somewhere around South Bend, Indiana. Now there's obviously one where you are. I think they're all over the place. What they're being used for or what they will be used for, I don't know. Is it because, you know, like you say, is there an asteroid rolling this way or some other disaster? Who knows? How many people?
I want to say one thing, sir. This is being built by the Army Corps of Engineers. This is basically being built by the military because, again, one of my friends worked down there for a while, and he took pictures, and they got troops down there. There's armories, railroads. I saw the pictures, okay?
Absolutely incredible story. Somehow we got to get to the bottom of this one.
Well, if you want to get me offline and get my phone number,
absolutely.
I'd love to talk to you
more.
We
will do that indeed. I'll put you on hold right now. Tommy will get your information. And also, if you want to email me, it's george@coasttocoastam.com. You can also do that as a backup. That way we'll get both sets of information from you. I do want to follow up on that indeed. John Taylor Gatto, he is our guest. He'll be around in just a moment. Legendary teacher. An expert. We're going to be chatting with him about a lot of things going on in this country with the education and also creationism versus evolution. Back in a moment.
Would you pay 15 cents to hear this show in its entirety? That's the daily charge for Streamlink. Sign up at www.coasttocoastam.com.